Friday, May 16th. The first reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 26 through 33. When Paul came to Antioch in Pisidia, he said in the synagogue, "My brothers, children of the family of Abraham, and those others among you who are God-fearing, to us this word of salvation has been sent." The inhabitants of Jerusalem and their leaders failed to recognize him, and by condemning him they fulfilled the oracles of the prophets that are read Sabbath after Sabbath. For even though they found no grounds for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him put to death. And when they had accomplished all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These are now his witnesses before the people. We ourselves are proclaiming this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." Haydock Commentary. St. Paul shows them that Jesus was their Messiah and the Son of God, begotten of his Father from eternity, who rose from the dead, and he applies these words of the psalm to prove Christ's resurrection, "Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee." It is true these words regard chiefly the eternal generation of Christ as they are applied by St. Paul, but the resurrection was a necessary consequence of his divinity, since death could have no power over him. The Gospel from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Haydock Commentary. After having answered the questions of St. Peter, Jesus addresses himself to his disciples and bids them not to be afflicted or troubled at what he says to them. Our Lord wished to encourage his apostles who were so much troubled because he had said that Peter should deny him. They thought within themselves, "If Peter, who is the strongest and most resolute amongst us, shall so far forget himself as to deny his master, what will become of us?" Jesus, seeing their anxiety, tells them not to be troubled, but to believe in him and in his words, for he had said that he would not lose any whom his Father had given him, and that whosoever should believe in him should have life everlasting. His sufferings and death now approaching, he forewarns them not to be troubled. "You believe in God and put your trust in him, believe also and trust in me, no less than in him." "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." He does not say, "your Father," for though God be the Father of all by creation, and of the just by the grace of adoption, yet Christ in several places calls him his Father in quite a different sense, that is, as he was his eternal Father. These many mansions signify different degrees of glory in heaven, so says St. Jerome. "And whither I go you know, and the way you know." Thomas replied, "We know neither." Jesus said to him, "I am the way." "They knew it," says St. Augustine, "but they did not know that they knew it. They knew their master, Jesus Christ, and he was the way. They also knew, that is, believed, the kingdom of heaven, but they knew not that he was returning thither, for as yet their imaginations were upon a temporal kingdom. I am the way by my doctrine and example. I am the truth by my promises, and I am life by the graces I offer and give."